Turn with me in your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Awesome. One verse that puts it all together, as many other verses do. But I love this verse from Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to say something with me that I really believe God will get in your spirit in a new way tonight. Say it with me. When I pray, miracles happen. Let's say it again. When I pray, miracles happen. Now let's expand that and say it like this. When I pray in faith, believing, according to the word of God, in the name of Jesus, miracles happen. You know, there's an unlimited power that is available to every believer. Dr. John R. Rice, an uncommon Baptist minister of years gone by, he said, prayer is asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. Prayer is asking, and the answer to prayer is receiving. First of all, prayer can birth you into the kingdom of God. If I believe in my heart, believe, and confess with my mouth, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A prayer of faith can and will birth you into the kingdom of God. No church, no denomination, no minister can do that for you. Your parents cannot do that for you. Your companion or your best friend cannot do that for you. But your prayer of faith can birth you into the kingdom of God. And that's what's happened to the goodly majority of those who are in this service tonight. One moment you're lost. One moment there's a debt of sin that you cannot pay. One moment you can't get there from here. One moment you're overwhelmed with your own good intentions. But oh, you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you embraced that and you confessed Jesus with your mouth and invited him into your life, and God changed your life. I don't know about you, but I'm finding it easier to witness in the last few weeks than I don't remember when. I was sitting for a medical appointment today, and I just felt drawn to a couple that was just over the chairs facing me. And he was all a flutter, and he had a lot of physical problems. And when he went into the doctor's office there, his wife said, I'm sorry for his impatience. And she went up and said that to the nurses, and then she said that to me. Well, I really didn't think he was impatient. I thought he was just not real happy to be in a doctor's office that day. But she told me a couple of conditions that he had, and I understood that and talked for just a moment. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? And she broke into the biggest smile. She said, yes, I do. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yes, I do. And she said, you know, 3 years ago, some tragedies happened, and there were some deaths and some things that happened in our life. And she said, I went back to church 3 years ago and renewed the faith that I had as a little girl growing up in the Nazarene church. And she said, yes, And she said, you know, I got my husband to going, and she said, it may not look like he's changed much, but said he's come a long way. I said, you know, the thing about it is we're all on different levels. We all face things in a little different way. And if there's one thing you learn, you can't always judge the book by the cover. And we have to have patience one with another and realize some people are doing good to do as good as they're doing. And I said, you just relax and don't worry about that. God's at work in your husband. And man, she just smiled and relaxed. But you know, the thing that I want to share with you, it all starts with the moment that we trust Jesus as our personal Savior. A lot of us came in kind of rough, but thank God you didn't quit. And you're still going on tonight, and God's still bringing change in your life. But you got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. I've had more than one person say, if you'll just have patience with me, you don't realize, I know I don't seem like I'm doing very well, but Sid, if you just knew me, you don't know how well I am doing, but yet I have a long way to go. I said, we have patience with that kind of a faith. I have patience with a person that can acknowledge I need some help and I'm changing and let God move in their lives. Secondly, prayer can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, it said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more would your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? A prayer of faith can be instrumental in filling you with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, that's something I want us to be emphasizing even more in the days to come. It's more than tongues. It's the third person of the Godhead that comes to live within you, to empower you. When you feel like you can't make it up the hill, there's an extra burst of power. When you feel like you're being overwhelmed with the tsunamis of life, the greater one rises within you and says, I'll help you, because He's the helper. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God is the helper. He will help us. He's the comforter. He is wonderful, wonderful. I tell you, people need to walk reverently in criticizing the third person of the Godhead. I'll tell you, anything that helps you, you need it and you need more of it. We don't need the wrong spirits. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. So prayer can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, actually, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. James chapter 5 said, is any sick among you? Let him call. Is any sick among you? Let him call. You know, you would think anyone would have the understanding for what I'm saying, but let me just say it quickly because it happens in every church. You know, I've had people just get mad at the church because no one visited them, and I said, well, did you call in? No, but they should have known. You know, we have a loving, caring staff that if, you know, every once in a while something slips through the cracks at best, and it's not what we like, but every once in a while there can be a miscommunication. But you know, if you'll just let us know, we have a loving, caring staff, and they will come and they will pray for you and stand with you. And one of us, praise God, I've watched our staff over and over again come in and show the love of God to people. And that's what people need so desperately. People in a hospital, they're fearful, they're unsettled. You know, people in difficult times in their life, they don't know how it's all going to turn out, and they're waiting for what the doctor said. They need to hear what Dr. Jesus said. Amen. They need some faith. They need some courage. They need some encouragement. But you see, the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And you know, there's an awesome thing about that promise in James chapter 5. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Such a deal. Oh, the double cure, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. What a wonderful thing happens when we pray for the sick. There's another insight to the prayer of faith, And it comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 33:3. And the fourth thing that I'd like to call your attention is the prayer of faith will show you things that you don't know. The prayer of faith will show you things that you don't know. Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things. I like what Brother Mark ministered to Sunday night. He said you need to incorporate the Word of God in your prayers. So when you're coming to the Lord, Lord, I'm coming on the basis of this verse or that verse. You said, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you. I will show you great and mighty things, things you don't know. Sounds like Psalms 32:8, that he will teach us and instruct us in the way that we should go. He will guide us with his eye. Oh, my, my. Praise be unto God. Oh, listen, believers, these are verses that make the heart to rejoice, that the prayer of faith will show you things that you don't know and things that you need wisdom for. See, the thing is, Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Yet James, the first chapter said, if any man or any woman lack, let them ask of God. Is that a contradiction? No. No. All you're doing is just releasing the force, the energy, the dynamics of God that are resident within you. You know, everyone in this audience right now, you have enough power within you to drive Satan absolutely crazy. He's already pretty well over the cliff right now. Because inside of you is the power of the Spirit of God. I have a body. I have a mind. I live in this body. But oh, I am a spirit. And how many times do we say, Lord, I know that you've been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. I call on that. Now, how many of you extremely intelligent, very bright people realize that you could have a lot of money in the bank, but you've got to do something to make a withdrawal? You can just stand outside the bank and say, I don't understand. I've been singing Money Cometh all day. I sang Money Cometh in my morning prayer time. I've been saying Money Cometh. Where is the money? It's in the bank. Well, how do I get it? Write a check or go to the machine. Do something to initiate a withdrawal. Folks, everything we need, God, let us see this. Everything that we need has already been deposited in the spirit realm through the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you need has already been deposited. It's on deposit. And you can stand out in front of the bank and say, where's my money? And if you do it long enough, they'll probably send someone to lead you away and explain to you a more excellent way. Because they'll be afraid that you might be there to do something strange. We're not strange people, we're believers. Get your checkbook out. Open it. This is a book full of checks. I just don't understand why all these companies want to send me blank checks. And they said, you have a credit line? Man, more money than I ever knew existed in the world. I think back when we got married, man, we were hard-pressed to get a few $100s, you know. And they want me to write a check and shift my balance. Well, the problem is I don't have a balance to shift. Well, just go borrow some money. Why? I have to pay it back. You know, I've gotten real sharp over these years. I finally caught on to this thing. It's easy to borrow. It's hard to pay out. And I just laughed the other day. I said, you know, I never thought I'd see the day when when I take something that says, oh, you can write a check up to several thousand dollars and say, I don't need it. What am I? I don't mean that I don't need money, but you follow what I'm saying. I've been through the rob Peter to pay Paul era. I've been through the friction era, two back payments rubbing up against one another. I've been through that. And yes, it doesn't mean that we don't have, you know, any needs and any opportunity, but you understand what I'm saying. You get on the other side of the curve, and it takes a while to do that. It takes faith to do that. It takes time to do that. Sometimes we look at others. I used to look at some other people, and I was so jealous, and I had to get rid of that so God could do something for me. You know, you can't be jealous of someone else or get caught in the comparison trap. But what I'm saying tonight is, folks, if you'll just believe, faith, the prayer of faith will show you. It doesn't happen overnight, and I am not belittling. Listen, I know the pressure. Oh, don't tell me anything. I can write you a book on the pressures of finance. I've been there. I do understand that one from a church standpoint, from a personal standpoint. But oh, thank God, you can pray a prayer of faith, and God said, I will show you great and mighty things. I will show you. I will show you great and mighty things, things you don't know. Oh, that's one I embrace tonight. There's a lot I don't know. Oh, I love that story about Henry Krause when he and his wife were living in a little old poor efficiency area. Went to the store to buy just a few meager groceries and went by church. Some of you really don't believe it, but there was a day when churches didn't have air conditioning. You know what air conditioning was back then? We called them funeral home fans. And the funeral home would advertise on a little cardboard fan, and you would fan your little funeral fan. And I could call some names in the city. And that was your air conditioning unit. You didn't have central air conditioning. You didn't have wind air conditioning. You didn't have evaporative air conditioning. All you had was open doors and open windows. And Henry Krause went by a church, just went by the sidewalk, and not far was an open door. And they were receiving an offering, and he went in and put the money. I forget what it was, $5, $10, I don't remember what it was. And then went home to tell his wife that, she said, where's the groceries? He said, well, I gave it to that church down the street. But you know, it was that night that God gave Henry Krause the invention of a plow that International Harvester spent at that time, back years ago, millions were real millions, spent over $11 million trying to crack that patent, and they could not crack the patent of a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. And he was a very wealthy man that concluded his life by giving 90% to God, in fact, hardly living on 10% himself. Oh, I tell you, God can show you things you don't know. Moving on. Prayer can deliver you from impossible situations. 2 Chronicles 20. Every one of these I could stop and preach for a while, but I don't have time. You know the story. The enemy's moving in. The opposition is moving in. They're outnumbered. In the natural, it's an overwhelming situation. And they come to Jehoshaphat and they say, Jehoshaphat, we've had it. But oh, thank God, Jehoshaphat called the people to prayer. Ah, praise God. You know, reference to those old timers that prayed, he said, whenever I could get the church to pray, we always won. He's an old pastor back in the early 1900s, he said, whenever I could get the church to pray, we always won. Well, thank God that's true even today. Things you don't know, and then prayer can deliver you from impossible situations. 2 Chronicles 20. Prayer can deliver you from killer storms. Joe and I can testify to that, and there's some others in this room tonight. I believe there's a few of you that were there in the building that night. The tornado moved through. God spared our lives. We were just in Grenada the other day, and I saw the corner of the room, you know, that dining room, where Maureen and Chris and I think there's about six of them just huddled in the corner there for about 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. Hurricanes, not like tornadoes. Tornadoes hit and go. Hurricanes are gigantic bursts of wind with a lot of tornadoes inside of them. And inside that house, they stayed right in that corner, and there was not one injury. There was not one injury. Took the roof off about half the houses on the island, but God spared their life. Paul, in Acts 27, when it all hope was gone that we could be saved, Paul, after long abstinence, stood up and he said, I've heard from God, I believe God, and it shall be even as God has said. You say, well, I know all this. Yeah, you do and I do, but we need to stir up our pure minds. You know what I'm doing? I'm building your faith, and I'm building my faith tonight. I'm building our faith tonight. I'm not telling you anything that you probably haven't heard before, but I'm here to tell you that if you look to the natural, there is no way. Now listen to me, folks. You know, we're more quickly getting into the impossible zone. Look at the news. Look at the Middle East. I mean, this is a weird situation. We see what the enemy's capable of when they command those two Fox television people at gunpoint to renounce their faith and to accept the... You see what we're facing in the world today? And I heard a person reciting an interview with the parents of several of the parents who had sent their children to do suicide missions. And they said, aren't you sorry? Oh, no, we're proud of our children. We'd rather have our children, whatever that reward is, than to be alive and to be engineers and doctors. See, that's the kind of thing we're up against. Now, you could look at that, and that could just drive you straight up the wall. Today, we don't really know who the enemy is. We know what they're capable of, but we really don't know who the enemy is. Are you listening to me? There's not enough security to make everything safe. Not enough security. But you know what? We can pray. Glory to God, we can pray. I can't change everything in the natural, but you know, when I pray, miracles happen. Say it with me. When I pray, miracles happen. There's safety in flights. There's safety in driving. There's safety in living. You know, when you're going through these airports, you don't know who is who is who is who. We live in a strange hour. We live in a strange hour. And it's, you know, there was a time you knew who the enemy was. You don't know altogether who the enemy is, but God does. And he said in Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. People say, aren't you afraid to fly? No, I'm not, because my faith is in God. My faith is in God. You can't live in fear. Are you afraid to drive on the freeway? Did you ever notice how close that bumper to that 18-wheeler is to your windshield? Huh? That bumper bit into the car of one of our Calvary Academy young people and just... did a number on the car, could have taken the young lady and another lady that was with her. You just, I'm not building anything here, but we court danger every time we move. But the answer to that is the prayer of faith. We start our day by standing in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Folks, this is so very important. We're just not sharp enough to do it in our own strength. I'm for strong military, but I'm telling you, we're facing something that we didn't face in World War II. We didn't face in the Korean conflict. We didn't face in Vietnam. We're facing something we haven't faced before, but God has faced everything that we're talking about. I'm telling you, prayer can deliver you from a killer storm. And there's a couple of three more that I must give you real quickly. You know, prayer stops godless anti-Christ religion, politics, education, and business. You know, those with the gold rule, as the old saying goes. Prayer. What can we do? You can do nothing until you pray. But when I pray, miracles happen. Godless, antichrist people in religion, Elijah faced 450 prophets of Baal. You're not going to change. They were crazy. I mean, these people were absolutely berserk. And one prophet of God, I like what one of the late great men of God said. He said it was like he had the key to the heaven in the hip of his robe. Elijah, when he prayed, things happened. He said it won't rain, and it didn't rain until he said so. And it didn't rain until he said so. And when he said so, the rain came. And the man went 40 days and 40 nights. Strong man, great anointing. Prayer stops godless antichrist. That's in 1 Kings 18. You can read that story. He stood before the prophets of Baal. He stood before Jezebel, which caused everyone to fear. But prayer stops godless antichrist. Religion, politics, education, and businesses. Four major areas of our world today. Religion, politics, education, and business. There in Grenada, one of the government officials had addressed a group of young people just a few days before, and he said, "The answer to all of our problems is education." Wrong! Good education is important. I do not minimize that. But I'm telling you, the answer, you can be the most powerful politician in the world, and you're here today and gone tomorrow. You can be the most powerful name in religion, here today, gone tomorrow. You can be top in education. You can be in business, in the business world, be here today, gone tomorrow. I want to go to Isaiah 38. There's not a thing you can do until you pray, but when you pray in faith believing, when I pray in faith believing, miracles happen. It was in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. You know, that's really the first reference to prayer we have in the Bible. Genesis 4, 26, then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. Think about that. One who taught them to do that. I'm not going to get into that. I don't have time to touch that. But then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. Let's let tonight be a new then in our life. Then we begin to call on the name of the Lord in a new way. Then, that night, we begin to call on the name of the Lord. In Isaiah 38, oh, I love this portion of God's word. My. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. See, even kings have problems. I said even kings have problems. Sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now that's about as flight final as you can get right there. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto God. Boy, did he pray a bold prayer. He said, remember now. He's calling God to remember. Remember now. O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, none of us often enough really pray a fervent prayer. A prayer that turns you inside out and right side up. A prayer that you run out of words and all you have is tears, and even that comes to an end. Hezekiah was facing something. You say, well, there's just nothing you can do. Well, he did something. You say, that was self-righteous prayer. Well, I don't see God contradicting that. I'll just let the word speak for itself. Turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Folks, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. Time to pray. Yes, Brother Nichols, I realize that. Would you please conclude so we can go lay before the Lord? That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Hezekiah turned his face from everything else to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Serious business. And said, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, we're just three verses into chapter 38. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying. You see, when you really get down to business with God, it doesn't take long to do business with God. The problem is we take an hour to tell him how bad things are here on earth. We take an hour to try to use psychology on God. Man, I mean, he just cut to the chase right here. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Did you hear what I just said? I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken, and behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, the sundial. I'll reverse the sundial. I'll bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. And the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And man, I tell you, that's an interesting prayer that he prayed at that point. You see, he was sick, but now he's well, and God brought him out. Well, that's just the way things are. Yeah, and that's the way things are going to be for you. How much do you want to see change? How committed are you to see change? I mean, you know, thus saith the Lord, that's pretty serious business. But he turned his face to the wall and he cried out to God. And God said, as a proof of this miracle, the sundial is going to be reversed 10 degrees. Now, I've heard different stories about how they... I don't care if anybody ever discovers that. My Bible tells me God reversed the sun. I like to hear proof, but I just... I agree, Brother Mark, you know, I built my ministry on just believing that God said what he meant and meant what he said. It's worked all these years, and there's no sense in changing now. God said, I will reverse the sundial 10 degrees. And the reason I know he did it is because Hezekiah lived.